Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. How are you today? I am Craig Sheeman, Chris on the other side of the glass. Somebody's missing today. We'll explain as we continue on the Sheeman and Shepherd show on ESPN Southwest Florida, or as we like to call it, the Sheeman and Shepherd Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend. I know I had a long one off on Friday. Glad to be back here today. Don't forget, in the addition to all the stations you can listen to us on, you can check us out on the website, ESPNSWFL.com. You can also download our app. Just get everything, any device you want, ESPN Southwest Florida. You can follow us on Twitter at ESPNSWFL. You can follow me at Craig ESPN. You can follow Pete Shepherd, and I encourage you to tweet at him today, at PSHEP326. Chris Beasley at Chris in SWFL. Our phone number and our Stony Brook Golf Club text line remain the same, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Love to hear from you all day long. Congratulations to the Heat fighting back. They advance to the finals, start on Thursday. That's cool. The Blades are a game away. We got a lot to talk about here. First, we say hello to Chris. Chris, how are you?
Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Did you guys miss me on Friday?
Yeah, I mean,
that didn't sound like yeah.
Oh, we talked a lot of Heat Celtics, which you're not
not a part of.
You're not a part of it, exactly. Yeah, I don't know how to say that politely, but Pete and I can we can carry a conversation on Heat Celtics just fine.
Sure, sure. Game six was spectacular, good, bad, and ugly, and then game seven yesterday. We'll get into all that. Congratulations to you and your Heat for winning and getting into the finals. That's cool. It's very cool, actually. So Heat and Panthers on the big stage.
Yeah, two 8 seeds and 2 8 seeds from the same city.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Marlins had a nice weekend against the Angels.
Did they? I didn't know.
Yeah, swept.
Oh, wow. Really good.
Believe that they're in a wild card position right now, or maybe a game out.
City of champions.
You know what? I'm just saying.
They're just paving the way for the Dolphins.
Yes, SportsCenter just did a segment on the Dolphins.
Really?
Yeah.
What, to his thickness, his head? What do they focus on?
They were talking about teams that made the most of their offseason.
Oh.
I imagine the Dolphins were the first team out, and then they got to the Cowboys, and then I turned on the USA New Zealand Under 20 World Cup game.
That's splitting some hairs for me.
Yeah, we're getting deep in the roster here.
You start having like an age bracket. I'm going to plead ignorance on most of that. You just tell me what I need to know.
I don't know any of these guys playing.
All right.
But you throw the flag on it and I'll watch it.
All right. Did you have a good weekend? An extended weekend?
Yeah, it was nice. Played some darts on Sunday afternoon. My arm is still sore.
Darts?
Yeah.
In a bar in somebody's garage?
No, somebody's back porch.
All right, I have a question. If you missed the board altogether, which can happen, are we putting holes in somebody's wall, or what's the situation?
I'm proud to say we did not have an instance like that.
But had you gone wide, would we have hit drywall or brick or siding?
I mean, you probably got 10 inches on each side of the board with like the chalkboard for the scoring.
Okay.
So unless you're way high or way low, yeah. And we were on the outside of the house, so it would have just been the exterior of the home.
But inevitably, you will have children around who are, hey, daddy, let me try. And
we did not play around the children.
Okay.
Yes.
Good move.
With real darts.
Very good. Yeah, it was good for me, too. I had a lot of family time over the weekend, and it was relaxing and restful, and it was all good.
Watched the entire Monaco Grand Prix. Sunday morning?
I watched the entire Indy 500 on Sunday. Was not planning to.
Yeah.
I went as a kid. I turned it on. It's on, and it's kind of spectacular to watch.
Yeah. So. The Monaco Grand Prix was very boring, as I said.
Yeah.
The highlight.
Oh, yeah, you said not a lot of rumor.
It's just they put it nicely. They're racing on a two-lane road.
Yeah.
And the width of the cars it's a Suburban.
Yeah.
So just imagine trying to pass like that. It's nearly impossible.
So
the highlight of the race was Fernando Alonso when he pitted with like 15 laps to go, went with the slick tire, not the rain tire. And when he made that decision, it started to rain on his outlap, and he was done after that.
So, oh, no.
That was pretty non-eventful.
Wow. All right. Well, good. I like I said, I enjoyed the Indy 500. I did not watch the Coca-Cola 600. I mean, I think a lot of people probably, if they watched a race this weekend, watched that.
Yeah, well-rounded. My arm does hurt from throwing darts.
How many darts did we throw?
I played 7 games, so we probably played for 3 hours.
Good Lord. It was a lot. I can't do anything for 3 hours.
Well, I lost the first 6 games, and I'm a little competitive, so I couldn't stop until I won the 7th game, though.
You lost 6.
Yep, I won the 7th game. You beat me 6 times
game
in
7.
A row.
Way to go.
7 times.
Way to go. Well, that's pretty good. All right, we will we'll do a rundown here. Going to explain Pete's absence, and then I have some comments about that. Right now, it is 7 minutes past the hour. It's time for a SportsCenter rundown. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Chris.
SportsCenter update brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
The Miami Heat beat the Celtics in Game 7 last night, 103-84. They set up an NBA Finals matchup with the Denver Nuggets. Game 1 will be Thursday night in Denver on ESPN, and hear every game of the NBA Finals on ESPN Southwest Florida. Stanley Cup Final matchup is set. Panthers will face the Vegas Golden Knights. Game 1 is Saturday at 8 o'clock from Vegas. Bob Myers announced he's stepping down as president and GM of the Golden State Warriors. He's a 2-time NBA Executive of the Year. And the Sixers announced that they are hiring former Raptors coach Nick Nurse.
All right. Good coach. See if he can do any better than Doc did with that team. And we'll see if Embiid remains part of the team. I don't know if they informed him that Nick Norton. They probably told James Harden but didn't tell Nick or tell Embiid. So I don't know. We'll get to that. All right. Pete's not here today. First of all, I hope he's feeling better. He's under the weather. He sent me a text this morning. I'm not going to read it because it's private, but it did start out, I was playing golf yesterday, and that's as far as I got, and I thought, you know what? The goofball injured himself. But that was not the case. Apparently, he was not feeling well and had a doubly miserable time watching Game 7 last night. Now, Chris, this is where you come in. Because you have an excellent memory. But I've got this vibe tingling in my head, memory cells. And I know the listeners will help us out here, too. It seems to me there's been more than one occasion where Pete has not been here the next day to answer the bell after a devastating loss by one of his teams. Does that ring a bell with you? Now, I don't think it was the Bruins just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it was not the Bruins.
Did he miss or have a family situation the day after, like, the Patriots debacle in Las Vegas? And my brain is telling me it's happened. Like, did the Hurricanes have a bad loss and he was not here on a Monday? It's a theme, or maybe he missed a play. I don't know. The listeners will help me out. But do you get the same vibe? It's been more than once.
So... I'm trying to think about. I don't think like any like Game 7 or like the Patriots losing the season finale. I don't think it was anything like that.
All right.
But I'm sure it happened once.
Yeah. Because I'm getting my spider tingly. Said something.
Well, he went to Vegas.
Yeah.
During the football season, right? Or was that in January?
Yeah. Yeah, I did go to Vegas.
I went to Vegas in the football season.
Yeah, one of his buddies got married or something.
Yeah, during the football season, and then that Monday.
Missed the flight or
whatever. Well, it was supposed to land at 12:30 in RSW. How could he have foreseen a 90 minutes worth of delays?
But that must have been after a Patriot game, no?
Maybe a regular season loss, but I don't remember the details around it.
Well, we're going to have to go to our crack staff audience and see what you remember that, you know, Pete's not here to answer. Look, it was a choke. I mean, you got to give him credit, I guess, for being down 0-3 and then forcing a game seven and winning three in a row. But they lost this game in game six. And we can talk about the craziness of game six. But they had complete control of that game in game six. And we know about the finish and the putback and all that. The reason Miami was able to even get in the game is, again, Boston just goes into this stupid-ass, stagnant, jump-shooting offense where nobody's – and they did that in the second half of game six, and it carried into game seven. And then their sphincters got tight when they started out 0-for-12 from three. That was their game plan. Just hit threes. We're more talented. We're at home. We're going to win. And it didn't happen.
I've listened to a lot on the Celtics because that seems to be the bigger storyline as opposed to the Miami Heat advancing.
Yeah.
But Joe Mazzulla and Pete and I talked about this a little bit on Friday. Look, when you're winning, of course the coaching looks better, and the ball movement and all that was better, but it doesn't change the fact that at times against the Hawks, at times against the Sixers, at times in the regular season, the first, I won't put game one on the coaching, but game three, the fourth quarter of game two, last night, this team just gets stuck too much for the talent that they have. And Charles Barkley, I thought, put it perfectly last night. They're a one-on-one offense. Mm. Like they don't run an offense. Somebody else called it hero ball. That's all it is. It's if Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are playing at the top of their game, they're going to win seven-game series.
They got those, their own talent.
Those guys have enough talent where if they're playing – but what happens to this team when they are not playing well? And the Jason Tatum injury last night was unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of took the game away before it ever really got going.
Mm-hmm.
But Miami's dealt in games without Jimmy Butler. They've gone throughout the entire postseason without Tyler Herro.
Right.
Injuries happen. The Sixers won game one against the Celtics without Joel Embiid in the lineup.
Right.
You got to have a way to overcome that. And that's where the coaching comes in. And it just wasn't good enough for Mazzulla. It wasn't good enough over a seven-game sample size. There were moments where the offense looked good. But there wasn't enough intensity on both sides of the ball consistently enough.
I'll go back to my comment before the season started. I said, look, Boston's a more talented team, but Spoelstra's going to steal one, and it's going to tilt it in their favor. I think he stole more than one.
I think he stole at least
three.
Two.
Three. I was
yeah,
okay.
At least two.
So,
and if they had won Game Six, you could have made an argument. I think Spoelstra. Well, here's what else. I think Spoelstra won Game Two. With the way he handled the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Mazzulla lost game three. Game three, I think that's where Boston lost this series.
I think he lost game one with the third quarter that he didn't call single timeout. In fact, every game, I think.
So we're up to three now in the first three games.
Yeah.
That were decided by coaching.
Yeah. And then last night when he doesn't do anything or run. You know, again, Barkley, in between all of his laughs and chuckles, was the best analyst in this whole deal. And, you know,
even though we didn't pick a game correct, I think the entire series
kind of reminded me of me a little bit. Brilliant points, but, you know, missing on some predictions.
He was right there.
Look, man, two-point plays add up, okay? Diagram a play in the paint once in a while. Shoot some layups. And Shaq went off on this last night. When you start out 0-for-10-for-3, let's change what we're doing. Let's get a couple of chippies in there before the game gets away. If you just keep missing threes, you're scoring zero. Get a layup in there or two, and you're scoring 2 points. You're getting something. You're staying in the game.
And this is like a little theme with Eric Spoelstra. When physically he's not able to match up with the opposing team, like physically Boston's a bigger, stronger, faster team than Miami. Miami's got heart, and Jimmy Butler's great, and Bam's great, and all that's fantastic, but what other NBA coach would tell his team to go play zone? It doesn't happen.
No.
In today's NBA, where teams want to shoot the three ball,
right.
Miami says, go on, shoot. Go for it. It's right there.
Yeah, take it.
Because we don't think you're going to make him at a high enough clip when you've got Jason Tatum that can't shoot tonight. He can't get any elevation off of his – can't get any elevation in his game.
That's for sure. All right, so – and we'll believe me, we're going to talk about the Heat, but we're going to talk about the Celtics right now. If you're Brad Stevens, do you have to fire – like, it felt like Joe Mazzulla was getting fired if they were going to get swept. Then it felt like, oh, wow, he got him back into a Game 7. He deserves some credit. They had a good – they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, for crying out loud. It's not easy to do. But over seven games, he hasn't shown the ability to learn, adjust, or move the offense inside, or move the offense at all. So do you fire the guy, or do you say, look, this is a learning experience. Let's run it back again next year and see what we get. Because we clearly have the most talented team in the East.
I don't think you fire him.
Okay.
I think that he showed you enough this regular season that, you know, right there on the cusp of being the one seed in the East. I think he showed you enough throughout the season, and to Boston's credit, they did bounce back from being down 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to force a game seven with no margin of error, that's big. That showed a little bit of character from that team and the coach.
Mm-hmm.
When you put a first-year guy in, and I think it was Brian Windhorst said this after they went down 0-3, like, what did you expect? You put a first-year coach in a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a learning curve to that. Look at Mike Malone in Denver. Look at Eric Spoelstra in Miami. They're two of the four longest tenured coaches in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get there every year. But being able to establish an identity in a program, and you and I were talking before the show, how Miami's got this like college-like feel to them where they have a style. Like mm-hmm. that, you don't see that with a lot of NBA teams. It's who's your best player? We're going to run the offense through them, and that's the style that we're going to play. We're going to let the personnel dictate how we play.
Mm-hmm.
Miami does that to an extent, but they've got a personality to them. You know what you're getting with the Miami Heat team. And I don't like it when Monty Williams gets fired from Phoenix because he didn't reach the NBA Finals.
Right.
Like, that can't be the bar, I don't think.
Right.
They got to
Budenholzer, the same thing with Milwaukee. But
they got to Game 7 of an NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think that this is like a call to blow up everything we're doing in Boston or even make any dramatic changes to it.
And Jaylen Brown comes back.
You lost a game seven where your best player went down with an ankle or, mm-hmm. you know, toughed it out with what looks to be a pretty bad ankle injury.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I if I were a Boston fan, I'd be kicking myself if 5 years from now, because he'll get another job quickly. If 5 years from now he's in charge of the Sixers or the Knicks or a team like that and they're performing well and you're going, man, he cut his teeth with us.
Yeah.
We should have been the one to get the fruit from the labor. And instead we put up with all the growing pains and then let him go blossom somewhere else.
As far as the Heat go, I think it was Charles that said that Caleb Martin was the true MVP, not Jimmy. Jimmy got it, of course. Jimmy sets the tone. Jimmy had some bad games. He had some great games. Caleb was pretty steady.
Caleb was.
You don't win without Caleb.
Caleb was awesome. He was the most consistent offensive player. I'll say when Miami was playing at its best, Bam was the best player on the court for them.
Okay.
I think in games 1 through 3, he played really well, and you saw that. And then last night, offensively, it wasn't great, but offensive rebounds were becoming a problem for Miami.
Yeah.
And he made that a point to not let Boston dominate him on the offensive boards. And that takes Robert Williams out of the game,
yeah.
which is a huge matchup problem for the Miami Heat.
Yeah. To piggyback on something you said a minute ago, talking about these quote-unquote role players, all the undrafted players, seven of them, four of them play. The undrafted players averaged 56 points a game in the series and, in fact, scored 56 last night. That's incredible. And I liked what Jimmy Butler said. He goes, I don't think of them as role players. I think of them as teammates. I thought it was one of the most eloquent post-game comments I've ever heard. And he's absolutely right. I mean, there was the one game. Was it game one or game two? All four guys scored 15 points. That's incredible. The piggybacks on your point about, look, it's kind of like a college developmental team. Like, all right, you're on the team. Let's go. Let's figure out how to use you. You figure out how to fit in, and we roll. That is where I think if there's an advantage for Miami, against Denver. I think you got more guys that can pitch in 15 a night than Denver does. Now, Denver's got, you know, the Joker, and he's gonna get his. I don't know how the Bam versus Joker matchup is going to work. You know, nobody can guard Joker. I don't know that Joker can guard Bam if Bam is on his A game like he was early in the series. I think it's going to be a shootout at the post. I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup. I don't think either can stop either one. Because Joker's not that great of a defender, but he's great at everything else.
No, but Bam's got to neutralize it a little bit.
Well, as the series went on against the Lakers, the last couple of games, the numbers, he was still doing triple-doubles, for crying out loud, Joker was, but they were smaller. You know, I think instead of 40, he was doing 26 at the end. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to find a way to do.
Well, and I said this during the Lakers series, but if I'm Miami, I say go score.
Yeah.
Go score. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to let you get your 30 and then Murray get his 25 as well.
See, that Murray's been so good. That's exactly right. So, but I still even think if they both go off, I think you got to limit Denver to a two-man team because the Heat can be a five-man team out there. They can get contributions for five. I think that's going to be how you do it. You got to get more guys in double figures than they do. I think that's the key to the series. I'm also going to be, every year we talk about rest versus rust. Denver off for 9 days. The Heat had just been in the thick of the battle nonstop playing for their lives. I don't know. Maybe they go in there and sneak game one.
But they get 3 days off.
Yeah. I think Butler needs it. He kept retweaking his ankle, too. I mean, we talk about Tatum. I think Butler rolled his pretty good a couple games ago, and he kept retweaking it a little bit. But, yeah, it was phenomenal. I got some other things I want to go back and visit game six about that have been bothering me. I know the series is over. I know we're moving on to the finals, but there was a couple of controversial items from game six I want to get to when we come back. Talk about the Stanley Cup, the Everblades in action, and some NFL news as well. Just warming up here on a Tuesday. That means we got Red Alert coming up in an hour. Put people, teams, and situations on blast. I don't know if we are going to have an Everblades conversation at 4:30 like we normally do. We haven't heard, and it's understandable. They're on the road, and, you know, they play tomorrow, and if they win, they're in the Kelly Cup Finals. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. What else we got here? Be listening all week to win a pair of tickets to Adventure Island Tampa Bay. I think we do this about once a year. It's Tropical Island themed water park. Guests can dig their toes in the sand, relax in lounge chairs or in a private cabana, enjoy 17,000-square-foot wave pool there and other family attractions, and be listening each weekday at 4:45 to win your tickets. You know what that means at 4:45. Wikipedia, or Chrisopedia, as it will be today. And you can register to win a pair online also, not just in Wikipedia. Go to our website, ESPNSWFL.com, and get yourself registered to win. All that and more coming up as we get going on a Tuesday. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I'm Craig Sheeman, no Pete Shepherd today. Sheeman to Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida. Chris on the other side of the glass. Got a text here from 239. Do the Blades play tonight, game six? No,
they do play tonight.
I mean, it is tonight. That is tonight. They won Sunday. I forgot about the Monday. Off on Monday. Yeah. Yes, they won Sunday. I was listening to the game Sunday afternoon, so they're up 3-2. They play tonight. It's at 5:30, weird time zone. So we won't have it. But, they broke open a 2-2 tie late and ended up winning 5-2 yesterday. And if they win tonight.
Sunday.
Tuesday. I'm going to do that all week, Chris. I'm just going to do it all week. Yeah. So they won game five. Game six is tonight. Anyway, so best of luck to them. And if they win, they're in the Kelly Cup. And if not, Then game seven will be tomorrow, Wednesday.
Correct.
Also 5:30.
Got that right.
All right. Thank you very much. Nailed it. Let's revisit game six real quick because there was some controversial stuff on there. Obviously, first of all, this, you know what's going to get forgotten in all of history? The stones it took for Jimmy Butler to go to the line with 3 seconds left and hit three consecutive free throws to give them the lead and presumably the win to go to the NBA Finals. Now, I say 3 seconds. He was fouled with 2-6, 2-1. They put 3 seconds on the clock after the free throws, which gave Boston the extra breath of air. They missed the three-pointer, and then they get the putback with 1/10, 2/10 of a second left, and they steal the game at home. I heard afterward on the TV that somebody said the time on the TV and the time of the game are not exactly the same, which I think is poppycock. It is the same. It's the same system. At least I always thought it was. So anyway, I thought it was weird that they put three on the clock. Chris, you're the Heat fan. You must have been, you're just sitting there, oh, come on. Because
well,
you're feeling pretty good at 2.1, 2.1. Three, that's a lot of time.
2.1, and look, they should have put more time back on the clock. I mean, that's fine. That's how the NBA is today. They go back. They make sure every tenth is accounted for. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. It didn't look to me like Jimmy had even jumped at 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So I don't know how a foul could have been called before he even was in the act of shooting.
And by the way, kudos for his footwork behind the line. That wasn't easy,
no.
What he did.
So that, I mean, and great job, Derek White. I mean, great follow there. Max Strus, you got a box out right there.
Yeah.
I mean, a box out, it's killed you this entire series, and you let another offensive rebound steal a game for Boston. That was, and I thought the series was over.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Completely honest, yeah. People can, look, I don't believe people when they say, oh, I had full confidence in the Miami Heat.
No?
No. Why would you?
That's what I told you right before I came.
And I didn't believe you. I don't believe you. It's easy to say after they win game seven, but Jimmy Butler, he had been the same. And he could say, I think we will win. I believe we will win. Mm-hmm. I believe that he believes that they will win. I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was any shot in hell you going to Boston, even with Tatum going down. I didn't think there was any way for the Miami Heat to go in there and win game seven. But back to game six.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the clock. I didn't hear the after the game. I turned it off. I didn't want to hear anything else about it. But yeah, it was a bit odd.
239 says Chris is absolutely killing it with his takes today. I believe that's a compliment.
Thank you.
Also, Bleeding Ears, Game of Thrones guy, says that thank you for your comments about the clock. I was screaming at the TV.
Hey, Jay. I thought 2-6 was the most you could put back on.
Yeah. Arthur Bills fan, is Pete at home crying in his Larry Bird pillow? Yes. Yes, he is. All right, the other problem I had in game six. We saw two offensive fouls, one in game six and one in this game seven, that they had to go review to make sure it wasn't flagrant. Late in the game, game six, Jimmy Butler goes up for a layup and an and one. Should have been 3 points. They say that his arm going upward above the shoulders hit Derek White. It was Derek White, right? I think it was. I didn't like that call because I thought it was a perfectly formed two-handed layup. Like, what else are you supposed to do? It was a true shooting motion. He didn't stick out a chicken wing or an elbow or anything like that. I thought that was a bogus call. Another weird one was game seven when Bam took one on the chin. I think it was Jaylen Brown. Went up for a shot, and his elbow clocked Bam in the chin. If I had to pick one of the two, that was the worst-looking one in slow motion. But I still think it's a natural shooting act. What did you think when you saw those two?
I think that this is a problem in the NBA, a bigger problem. I think that they're at the point where they police the outcome. Like, it's no longer about a fluid shooting motion. It's, did the guy get hurt?
Yeah.
And they kind of referenced it last night with the Bam thing, and Reggie Miller said, he goes, look, it's today's NBA. I don't blame Bam for staying down on the floor just in case, and he might not be hurt that bad, but just in case there is something there, why not have the officials go and take a look at it?
I thought in Game 6, Van Gundy was the only one that said, hey, that's a normal shooting motion by Jimmy Butler. That's just a normal shooting.
And I agree with that, by the way.
Yeah.
But I think we're at the point in the NBA where they police the outcome and how badly the guy is hurt or if he's hurt, as opposed to looking at the play and not and ignoring what the pain dished out. I don't know how to phrase it properly, but they like police the outcome more than the crime.
So now when you're going up for a shot, going up strong to the hoop, if a guy's face is in the way, that's part of the defense, and you got to work around it. That's what I'm hearing from the NBA now. Instead of just going up for a strong shot, drawing the foul, taking your free throw. I don't think there was anything malicious on either one of those plays.
Well, there was nothing malicious, and that's why no flagrants or anything was called. But, yeah I think that that's the NBA now. They're going to go take a look at everything when it's contact to the face.
But that play really cost the Heat game 6. I think they were about to go up 7.
Yeah. And were they up 7?
Or maybe they were up 7. That would have put them up 10. And you can forget about 3 seconds. It doesn't matter at that point. So I didn't like that at all. Didn't like the officiating.
But, I mean, look, over the course of a series, you expect that to kind of balance out.
I guess. It seems like we're spending a lot of time, particularly in football, but also basketball now, talking about, you know, I don't want to say softening up the game. I get it. I don't want anybody to be injured. That was a regular shot. Just like sometimes I look at the TV and go, that was a normal tackle. What are we doing? It's just mind-blowing how many times we talk about this stuff. And I think sometimes officials think they see what they think they're seeing what they see, but they don't, because it's in real time. But the NBA, they got the advantage. They go back and they break it down frame by frame. It always looks different in slow motion, no matter what. But I didn't like
it. But that's what fans react to. Fans react to the slow motion because we have access to it. So don't you want the officials seeing the same thing that we see? When is more evidence bad?
But I don't. Again, in the Jimmy Butler thing, I didn't see a foul there. I saw a layup, and his arm, you know, hit the upper portion of a defender who was there. If you're sticking your arm or your leg out, pulling a chicken wing across the face, I get it. His elbow was tucked, and he was shooting a shot. I thought it was a horrible call, and I apparently am in the minority because everybody – except Van Gundy was like, yeah, this is it.
It's not a horrible it's not that I like the call. It's that this is what the NBA has told us. Mm-hmm. When this happens, this is the call.
Yeah.
When somebody makes contact with their elbow on somebody else's face, it's been all year.
Yeah, I know.
It's a foul.
It has been.
And it's been a foul all season long. They're not changing it. It's not like the catch rule in the NFL where it varied a few years ago from regular season to playoffs.
Yeah.
There was a memo sent out apparently saying if it looks like a catch, call it a catch.
Right.
The NBA's been consistent on this, and you don't have to like it, but they've been consistent on it.
Yeah. 239 says, don't forget Duncan missing those two wide open shots in game 6.
Yeah.
Whew. He was too open. You're not used to that. It throws you off.
No, I agree with 239. I mean, there were plenty of opportunities for the Heat to win that game.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Days are getting confused.
I know. It's hard coming off of these long weekends. So while that's going on, and Miami's in the NBA Finals, and again, I don't know if we mentioned this on the air or off the air. I know we did off the air. So Tyler Hero, the game plan is to bring him back for game 3 back in Miami. Which would be great if he could go up there and get the split, come back, Tyler Hero. I don't know how effective he could be. I don't know if he's rushing it back. They just took the brace off his hand last week. It's the finals. I get it. Is he pushing it? Is he going to, you know, have any kind of rhythm to his game? I don't know. We're going to find out.
Well, that's the big thing with him.
Yeah. The thing.
Do you take minutes away from Caleb Martin to give them to Tyler Herro? If his game is not to a level, you know, that we were used to seeing him play at this year.
Well, I think I brought that up last week when you guys were up 3-0. I believe I was scoffed at momentarily. But, no, I mean, what do you do? You're right. Caleb Martin's, you know.
You bring him back, but it's not like he's a true point guard, and now all of a sudden you can tell Kyle Lowry, go sit down. He's not a true point guard.
If you're a Heat fan, you want to tell Kyle Lowry to sit down. He's been god-awful.
Yeah.
He's been horrible. A turnover machine.
You can't play Gabe Vincent for 48 minutes a game, though. You got to figure out how to, you know, keep him at 35 and find a ball handler for a quarter in a game.
I'm confident Coach Spo will find the right combo. Guy's a genius. It's a great coach. Love watching him out there. He's in total command of his team. And if anybody can figure it out, he will.
Be cool in sports if we start doing like that TikTok trend where if you beat a team, you get to take one player off of the opposing team's roster.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, to go get Derek White.
Okay.
Just for a ball handler.
Just for a ball. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Speaking of rosters, Stephen A. is all up on not signing Jaylen Brown and making a trade for Damian Lillard. That's his hot take of the day. I mean, look, Lillard's a good player. He probably would improve the team. But I don't know, man. I think they're going to re-sign Jaylen Brown. I don't know about a max deal. I don't know how that works. It seems like everybody was getting him for a while.
Everybody can offer the same amount of money. The difference is Boston can offer Jaylen Brown a fifth year versus every other team can only offer him 4 years.
Right.
So there's that's the supermax in the NBA.
Yeah.
Does Jaylen Brown want to be back in Boston where it's never going to be his team? He will be the Scottie Pippen forever. For as long as he's in Boston, he'll be Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
And you can get a lot of credit for that and win a lot of games, but does he want to be the guy somewhere? Because he'll get max money from other places.
Yeah.
And he's, what, 26?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's 26.
Yeah, I think so.
You sign a four-year deal, you hit free agency again when you're 30, you bet on yourself?
Maybe.
I don't know. And it depends what the relationship's like with Jason Tatum off the court. I don't know if they're great friends off of the court. I don't know if he's willing to put like a friendship above a legacy.
The reverse, Tatum was asked about Jaylen Brown, and he says he hopes he gets his deal and stays there. I think he likes the comfort of having. I think he's got some ghosts in his head, voices in his head sometimes, and he'll disappear. I think he likes having
Tatum.
Yeah, I think he likes having Jaylen Brown as a crutch in case he needs him.
Well, and I also think that, it's a lot more of an instant gratification society. He's 25.
Yeah.
When did Jordan win his first title?
Well, 6 or 7 years in, so, yeah, 26, I think it was.
Was he 28? He played 3 years at UNC, so he would have been 21 when he came out, so he was in his late 20s.
Yeah.
And we always rag on the KDs of the world for going and chasing a ring somewhere else. Do it it where you were drafted. Do it with your team. No. Give it time.
Yeah.
Give it time. They'll figure it out.
All right, so Chris is the voice of reason. Don't blow it up if you're Boston. Keep Coach Joe back, coming back. Sign Jaylen Brown. Keep it together. Basically, it is the Michigan football blueprint. Well, don't fire Jim Harbaugh. He got you to a playoff, right?
Yeah.
Most other places, he would have been fired.
He would have been fired before the playoff, I think.
Well, before.
At other blue blood programs.
About 2 or 3 years before, yes.
But I think that there's also something for consistency, and I think you're seeing that if we want to keep with the college football analogy, look at Tallahassee. That program was in shambles this time 3 years ago. They kept the course.
Yeah.
They said, we believe what Mike Norvell's got here. We're going to trust him. We're going to trust him to rebuild the program. And they're going to be a top five program in the country preseason this year.
One texter name says, Chris, are you saying trust the process?
I'm saying, yeah. There's no shame in losing in game 7 of an Eastern Conference final when your best player sprains his ankle in the first 30 seconds of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't react. Don't overreact to that situation.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Titan Tyler texting in on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. LOL, I know we just had a long weekend, but I just walked into a Publix and they were playing Miley Cyrus on the radio. Took me right back to Friday.
By the way, who tweeted at us the guy on the motorcycles singing
that.
Miley Cyrus? That was a great video.
So what it looked like to me is like the guy in the car was listening to us, but then the guy on the motorcycle also was listening to us and putting his hands in the air. Yeah, I love that tweet. I answered that back over the weekend. That was fantastic. By the way, I tweeted out at Tim Brando last night.
That was a good call by him. It was.
So just to explain, you can go to my Twitter and see it at Craig ESPN. So Brando's on vacation. He's at the beach somewhere, and it looks like he's on fourth or fifth floor of his condo looking down on the beach. Well, there's about four kids on the beach away from the water, and they're playing wiffle ball. And Brando, in true Brando fashion, is sitting by the window doing play-by-play. And what's a play-by-play guy? Always a play-by-play guy. And he can't turn it off. So I tweeted at him. I said, nothing is more American than Memorial Day and Tim Brando doing play-by-play, keeping the skills sharp. Week zero, 89 days away. He immediately writes me back, Craig, can I tap the brakes? Can I get a vacation in, please? I'm not the one doing play-by-play on vacation.
Well, he did a great job. He opened it up with, it's two on two.
Yeah.
We're only playing two outs here. He had the rules and everything.
Yeah. It was classic. I loved it. All right. When we come back, a trip down Sound Street, and we are just warming up here on a Tuesday coming out off of a holiday. Hope you all had a nice, safe weekend as well. Keep listening to ESPN Southwest Florida for all the latest on the Miami Heat and the NBA Finals. Interviews, reactions, and every second of the finals, every game on ESPN Southwest Florida. Log on to ESPNSWFL.com for a schedule of games we'll be airing and the latest news on the Miami Heat in their seventh NBA Finals. Shemina Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Scheman and Shepherd.
All right, here we go. The Miami Heat are going to the NBA Finals. They beat the Celtics in Game 7 in Boston, 103-84. Caleb Martin had a wonderful series and a wonderful game last night, 26 points and 10 rebounds. Here he is ending the third quarter with a little turnaround J on TNT.
Martin drives right at Tatum. Two to fire, away, and down it goes! As many as 17. Watch him here against Tatum with a sweet spinning shot.
And here's the final call of the game when it was a wrap. And it was, first of all, let's back up a little bit. The beginning, the crowd was insane nuts. At the end, very quiet. Very quiet. Here's the final call, TNT.
They have won three straight games to start this series. So it was a game 7. They stand eye to eye with history, and they did not blink. The Heat are going to the NBA Finals. What a win on the road. Third win in this series.
And you have to look at Boston's home record the last 2 years in the postseason at home. It's just awful. It's horrible.
Well, and it goes back farther than that, and it's not just the Celtics. It's the Bruins as well. Patriots lost their last playoff game at home.
Yeah.
It's, There was a time where that fan base for all four of those pro sports, if they had a home game, you just knew that it didn't matter how big of a difference, it was going to be an electric atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like the what happens with like Alabama football and what could happen with Georgia football, where like the fan base almost gets burnt out on winning so much and you can't get excited anymore. I wonder if that's happening with Boston sports fans, where they've just had so much success over the last 20 years. Yeah. They've almost come to like be okay with it.
They expect it, or they don't know how to react. Like you said, they're 25-year-olds that don't know what it's like to have.
They don't know. They don't know what a bad team is.
They just think, oh, we're Boston, we're big market, everybody loves us, we're winning. That's all they know, and it's obnoxious.
It's a lot more tolerable when they're not winning championships.
Yeah, much more enjoyable. Afterward, late into the TNT thing, you probably bailed at this point. Barkley was trying to do a lot of habba talk. It was awful. I mean, I'm awesome at it.
On the post game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bailed at that point.
It was awful. And then Shaq started getting in it. Pac McCann! Just sounded awful. Here's Eric Spoelstra calling the Heat's Game 7 win in Boston poetic justice.
We know we have more work to do, but damn, is this hard. It is hard. It's hard business, and it's hard to survive three rounds just to get to that final round. We're extremely grateful for that. We're not even going to think about this next round until we get to and I wanted everybody to acknowledge just how difficult it is and, you know, to enjoy this moment. You know, it's the longer you're around in this business, you realize the harder and harder it is to do something like this. It's a special group. You know, so we'll definitely take this. And it's poetic justice, you know, to be able to get it on this court. Tough environment. We'll celebrate a little bit tonight on that plane to Denver, and then we'll get on to that next challenge.
All right. So are they going straight to Denver? Is that how that works? Even though they got 3 days? Or maybe they're coming home real quick.
No, they'll probably go straight there.
You think?
Yeah.
It's a lot of luggage. A lot of confidence. It's good.
Overnight some stuff.
Or that.
Buy some new stuff.
Sure. Why not? All right, when we come back, we have more. We'll hear from Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, and of course, Charles Barkley, among other things. Love your reaction, too. Feel free to make fun of Pete for not being here to answer the bell when his Celtics lost. They got bounced. Hope he's feeling better.
I guess we'll just have to replay all this sound for him tomorrow.
I'm ready to move on.
Well, I can't. He can't. He can't. He can't get off the hook by just not showing up.
You're right. But tomorrow, when I roll in here, damn it, all prepared and ready to go on a Wednesday, I'm ready for game one of Nuggets Heat.
I mean,
those are the teams we should prop up.
We'll still have all day Thursday to talk about that.
Fine. And then tomorrow, Ted Lasso series finale.
I will watch it before I come into work.
I thought about watching it before I come to work. I don't want anybody spoiling anything.
I'll have a grade on the finale. Hopefully it does better than the Succession finale last night, which I saw not great reviews.
Finales are hard.
They're tough.
Finales are hard. Awesome. Tar Heel says, don't give Pete the easy out.
No, can't.
Purple Pirate says, Pete is also part of the example of Boston fans not knowing how to react. Bleeding Ear says, tomorrow's Tuesday. Don't do that to me. Bag says, heading to Denver now. Not enough time to acclimate to altitude, but enough time to hedge towards oxygen debt. All right. We got all that. More Sound Street will continue, and some NFL news to drop on you as well. Some lobbying for some players. Some more new. Yes, Estero Ernie says, Pete is embarrassed. By the way, real quick, that was Estero Charles that sent us the video of him and the motorcycle guy Listen to the Miley Cyrus. Thank you for saying that. Made me smile. All right, 239-337 ESPN. You want to jump on the phone to the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Scheman and Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.